Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 10, Text Number 5, Translation and Commentary by Disciples of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. This is a verse spoken by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, to His dear disciple Uddhava. Okay. Yaman abhikshnam seveta niyaman matpara kvachit madabhigyam gurum shantam upasita madatmakam. Translation. One who has accepted me as the supreme goal of life should strictly observe the scriptural injunctions forbidding sinful activities, and as far as possible should execute the injunctions prescribing minor regulative duties such as cleanliness. Ultimately, however, one should approach a bona fide spiritual master who is full in knowledge of me as I am, who is peaceful, and who by spiritual elevation is not different from me. Purport. The word yaman refers to major regulative injunctions necessary for preserving one's purity. In the Krishna consciousness movement, all bona fide members must give up eating meat, fish, and eggs, and they must also avoid intoxication, gambling, and illicit sex. The word abhikshnam indicates that one cannot at any time perform such forbidden activities, even in difficult circumstances. The word niyaman refers to less obligatory injunctions such as bathing three times daily. In certain difficult situations, one may not bathe three times daily yet may still maintain one's spiritual position. But if one engages in sinful, forbidden activities, even in difficult circumstances, there undoubtedly will be a spiritual fall down. What do you think about removing the comma after circumstances? That would make a more accurate sentence. We'll make a note of that. Ultimately, as explained in Upadeshamrita, mere adherence to rules and regulations cannot give one spiritual perfection. One must approach a bona fide spiritual master who is mad abhigyam, or in full knowledge of the personal form of Godhead. The word mat, me, negates the possibility of a bona fide spiritual master having an impersonal conception of the absolute truth. Furthermore, the guru must be in complete control of his senses. Therefore, he is called shanta or peaceful. Because of being completely surrendered to the mission of the Lord, such a spiritual master is madatmakam, or non-different from the personality of Godhead. An initiation ceremony is scheduled for a little later this morning. In such ceremonies, Srila Prabhupada sometimes personally spoke, or sometimes had one of his leading disciples speak on the meaning of initiation, the meaning of being a disciple, as well as a talk about the 10 offenses that are to be avoided in the matter of chanting the holy names. So this lecture is going to be about guruship and discipleship. Generally, the talk on such occasions is general principles of guruship and discipleship, but I'm going to speak more specifically about my role as a guru, as I perceive it, and what I expect of you as disciples. It's a very big topic. Basically, the guru wants to see the disciples happy in Krishna consciousness, well engaged in Krishna's service, making advancement, and ultimately becoming or being pure devotees. Atmanivedan tua pade kare hoinu paramashuki dukha dure gelo chintana rahilo chodike ananda deki. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur opens one song praying to Krishna, but it's quite applicable to Guru also. This is a song, specifically the subject is Atmanivedan, or offering one's very self. In Chaitanya Charitamrita also, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu states, we find that he states, Dika kale bhakta kare atta samarpan. At the time of initiation, a devotee offers himself completely. Samarpan, Nivedan, these are synonyms. Shekale Krishna Tare Kare Atasham. And at that time, Krishna accepts the devotee to be as good as himself. So the Atma Nivedan is done through the agency of the Guru, but Krishna accepts that. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he says that by offering myself at your lotus feet, I have become supremely happy. All my distress is gone away. And we find in this song is from his series of songs on Sharanagati, which especially in the opening songs, he opens with his expression of distress in various songs of how he's passed his life. But then the change is there, that when I surrender to you, then I became completely happy. And all my distress is gone away. Duk dure gela. I see that there's no anxiety anymore. And in all directions, I simply find happiness, or see happiness. In my own life, this life, how many lives have I been? How many times have I... It's been round and around in the cycle of birth and death. But in this life, there's a sharp distinction between before coming to the shelter of Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet and after. It's almost like another It is a new birth. It's called a new birth. It's almost like a, what is that being that existed previously? It's so much a relief to be accepted. This is my experience. So much relief to be accepted by a guru, to be accepted, to have to know one's direction in life. Everything clear. One may know everything clear means in this world and in our minds everything may not be clear. It's not that immediately by taking initiation one is immediately completely clear about the understanding of Krishna consciousness, and the consciousness is still covered with Kam Krodh Lobh Moha Mada Matsarya Ityadi. That's only the beginning. Lust, greed, anger, envy, pride, illusion. That's only a sample from Maya's kitchen of all the things that get cooked up in our minds. But we feel very clear that I'm fallen, I've got a guru. Now I'm okay, now I'm properly situated. Sanata jivita. I'm not anata, I'm not alone anymore. Brahmanda, what is it? Eta brahmanda pari ananta jivagan. Charasi lakha jonite kariye brahman. Wandering in the universe, we're alone in a very fearsome place. We may think that we have helpers. I have my deha patyakaletradyeshu atma sainyesh vasatsvapi tesham pramata nidhanam paschanapi na paschati. We may think, I have my good friends and protectors. They are like good soldiers to protect me. I have my own. This body is strong, and I have my wife and my children, but they cannot protect us. We have to suffer death. We see this, but we don't see it. Being blinded by foolishness, we cannot see. We're on our own. We're wandering in the forest of material existence alone. And even if people want to help us, they cannot. We praise so much. People are doing, opening schools, feeding the poor, having eye camps. So many ways they're trying to help others. They cannot help us. Their help is illusory. More, it puts us in more trouble. That so-called help puts us in more trouble because we think we're getting helped, but it's just an illusion of help. But when we come to the lotus feet of a bona fide spiritual master, then we're sheltered. We say, Guru Ashray, Guru Padashrayas Tasmat, the first rule given by Rupa Goswami in the 64 angas or parts of sadhana bhakti is to accept shelter of a guru. That's the first thing. When we become serious, when we may be casually hearing and thinking, kind of agree with that, not quite sure about that. But to take shelter means we're no longer at andhayatandai rupaniyamanas tipi shatantram urudami badha. We're no longer blind being led by the blind. we're blind, but we're confident that there's someone who can properly guide us. Someone who can lift us up out of this ocean of material existence. So for looking back at my previous existence, what I know of it, what do I know about my life prior to coming to the shelter of Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet? Very little. About 18 years. Even that, I can't remember the first four or so. So I can remember 14 years. But how many millions and trillions and zillions of births have I been through? Just a little bit. I have some memory of. But it just seems like a nightmare. Maybe you can, if some of you had nightmares, maybe you can remember even now. After coming to Krishna consciousness, generally we don't get nightmares by the grace of holy name, Krishna. But we may remember some nightmare. It can be so horrific that we can remember even after many years that's lodged in our memory. So to live in a nightmare, well, there are people who are literally living like that. If you're living in a war zone, then you could be bombed. There are bombs falling all the time. I think you told that Gokulchandra that in during the war in Croatia, it's nice and sunny in Croatia in the summer. So people like to sit outside and drink coffee. And fighting is going on in the next street. But people would come and they'd sit and they'd drink coffee as if nothing was going on and talk with their friends. And the war is going on in the next street. And they'll think, well, it's the next street. But then it comes in their street and they get killed. You told that, right? You had experience of that. So some people are directly living in the nightmare, and some people think, look in the paper, nowadays it's not a paper, it's a screen, and see the news, and killing in Syria, and put it down and drink our coffee. It's over there. Foolishness. But even if we think that the nightmare is in Syria, not here, actually we're all living in a nightmare. Just pashyanapi na pashyati. We don't see it. But we're living in a nightmare. That's part of the nightmare, that we don't see it. And then all of a sudden we have an experience of that. And then it goes on and on and on. So for me, having the great good fortune of somehow or other being pulled to the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada, that I just can't imagine what it's like to live without a guru. I should be able to imagine, because most of the people in the world do so, but for me, to not have that direction, to not have that shelter, it's like a nightmare, something horrible to be like that, to be lost again without any knowledge of what I'm doing or how to live my life, and just in the middle of fear all the time. And no hope, no hope. So I don't know how people can be so reckless. It's madness to want to conduct life without a guru. It's something like a child who gets in a car. And he thinks, I'll drive the car, and he starts driving. He doesn't know how to drive, and there's no one there to supervise him. He's going to crash. It's reckless, it's mindless, foolish. That example is given in the Shastra. Atmanam Ratinam, the Atma, the soul, is the passenger on the chariot of the body and the senses. The horses are like the senses. Intelligence is the mind, and the chariot driver is the reins are the mind, and the chariot driver is supposed to be the intelligence. But who can control such wild horses as the senses? Then we have to call Krishna to be the chariot driver, as did Arjuna, bewildered Arjuna. Krishna comes in the form of the Guru to take charge of our lives, and we can be confident, as Arjuna could be confident of victory, because Krishna is with him. He has to be successful, even though all the forces against him are so powerful. Dayatam Panduputranam Yesham Pakshe Janadana. The Pandavas must be victorious in battle because Krishna is on their side. But otherwise, just like Duryodhana, he had his literally Asat Sainya that is given as a metaphor in the Bhagavatam. The fallible soldiers of the family and friends, country, society, friendship and love. But Duryodhana had so many soldiers to protect him. But he was doomed because he went against Krishna. He was alone. He thought, I'm surrounded by so many warriors who are... demonstrated his not quite as confident as he thought he was. He said, Bhima Arjuna Samayudhi. There are so many soldiers here. They're as good as Bhima Arjuna. He didn't say they're better. He said, well, they're just as good. He was complacent. But he was alone on the chariot of his mind. Instead of having the chariot driven by Krishna, he was on the chariot of his mind. All the soldiers were on the chariot of the mind. Of course, they were fortunate to die in the association of Krishna, but they had to die. They didn't have a guru to tell them. Krishna was there as the best guru. Krishnam Vande Jagat Guru. He's the best guru, but they didn't want to accept him as a guru. It's a very frightening and horrible situation to be without a guru. It's also from the prospective devotee's point of view or perspective, it's also a very risky thing. How can you be sure? How can you be sure this is the right path? Even if you're sure it's the right path, how can you be sure that the guru is going to guide you properly on the path? It requires some faith. It requires faith in God. You guide me to the right place. Ramanda Brahmate Kono Bhagyavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Beach. Out of all the souls wandering in this universe, someone, Kichit Kevalaya Bhaktya, someone, not everyone, not many, may not be many, will get the idea of pure devotional service. But how? By Krishna's mercy, will send a proper guru who can guide one and then plant the seed of pure devotional service in the heart. And Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, in his commentary on this section, discusses how there are different kinds of seeds of bhakti, the mixed up seeds, hybrid seeds. Hybrid seeds mixed up with karma or jnana or yoga or karma and jnana mixed, all different kinds of seeds. We can make a real jungle out of all the different kinds of plants that grow as weeds. But we have to get the pure devotional seed. And mali hoya she bij kore. Mali hoya kore she bij aropan. Shravan kirtan jale kore eshrichan. Then one, it's not that you just get the seed from the guru. The seed is the conception of pure devotional service, the desire to perform pure devotional service, free from karma and jnana. But it's not that one just gets that and, okay, I got the mercy, I got initiated. But that's the beginning. One has to plant that seed in the heart and become a gardener and make sure there's enough water of hearing and chanting about Krishna. And good water. If you use tap water and it is full of chlorine and fluoride, you're not going to get such a good result. So again, the hearing and chanting has to be proper, and our own method of receiving that hearing and chanting and has to be proper. That means all the way through with the desire to be a pure devotee of Krishna, a desire to come to that stage. And then there are weeds which may grow up also. The weeds of lab puja, well, there's what is that? Nishedacha, kutinati, jibe hingshan, laba puja pratisht adi jato upashakago. The weeds may grow up of, we may desire to engage in some activities which are expressly forbidden in the matter of performing pure devotional service. We may have duplicitousness, pretending to be a devotee, but we're not really. We show ourselves. We like to show ourselves to be better than we are. Kutinati jibe hingjan means not preaching Krishna consciousness. Then the desire for gain, monetary gain. By being a devotee, we can speak nicely, people will come, they'll give some donation, and I can get rich. Or at least I can support my family. Or we may desire respect or position. Labha puja pratishtadi. And there are so many, these are just some of the contaminations that can enter the heart in the name of devotional service. So we have to be very attentive, carefully water the plant, the creeper of pure devotional service. For doing that, we have to take guidance from the guru also. It's not that the guru gives initiation then gone away. It may be in some cases, but the link is there. The link is there in the matter of surrender, that is negotiated by Paramatma, Krishna within the heart. Krishna helps the devotee as Chaitya Guru, the Guru within the heart, and manifests outside as Mahanta Guru, a Guru who's capable to guide one. So one has to have the faith, that faith is required, that Krishna has put me on the right path. I'm in the right place. Then we accept initiation. And it's a great commitment. And it might seem, in the course of our executing devotional service, that something's wrong with the guru. Jayadvaita Swami spoke about that yesterday in relationship with Srila Prabhupada. That when Srila Prabhupada said that the American astronauts had not been to the moon, then several of his disciples, they couldn't accept that. And they left their devotional service. Their faith in devotional service stopped. Srila Prabhupada said that, well, you don't believe me. It's not that I'm saying it. You have to believe Shastra. But actually, for Srila Prabhupada's disciples, their faith in Shastra was predicated on their faith in him. They didn't know Shastra very well, hardly, whatever they'd absorbed from him. And that was a great test. It was the fact that Srila Prabhupada stressed this so much, one, that they hadn't been to the moon, or he doubted very much they'd been to the moon. That was a great test of Srila Prabhupada to his disciples. They had come to him on the strength of their attraction to his personality. It's different in every case, not exactly the same how everyone comes. But they came, they had faith in him, they were attracted to him. And we'll find especially many of the earlier devotees, disciples of Srila Prabhupada, they talk about his personality and how they were attracted by his personality. He was so kind, he was so loving. Those who came later, like myself, we often stress that we have to understand Srila Prabhupada through his teachings, because that's how we related to him. And I feel in many ways we are more fortunate, because Srila Prabhupada didn't come to smile at us per se, or to be a grandfather figure per se. He was a grandfather figure to many of his disciples. They saw him like that. Some saw him like a friend. So he is all that, but primarily the role of a guru is that of every guru, bona fide guru in the history of material existence. That he is to instruct according to the instructions of Krishna. That means as given in Shastra. So it was a great test for many of Srila Prabhupada's disciples when Srila Prabhupada said they haven't been to the moon. And why Prabhupada said that? Why? Because it, according to Shastra, they are not capable of going to the moon. So some left. Their faith was shattered. That America, great America, we are American, and our great country has conquered space and defeated the Russians in the race to the moon, and we saw it on TV, so it must be true. And they went to the moon, and Prabhupada said, they didn't go to the moon. And probably there was no one in the world at that time except Prabhupada who said they had not been to the moon. Later there are so many. But at that time, Prabhupada was the only one. And it went, it sounded bonkers. You can understand what that word means, even if you haven't heard it before. It's English slang for nonsense. Sounded like complete nonsense. It's just like saying something like, Narendra Modi is not the Prime Minister of India. How do you know? How can you say that? I haven't seen Narendra Modi. I don't even know if he exists. Maybe there's a robot going around, or maybe it's all fake news. But we can accept it's reasonable to accept. And it would be extremely unreasonable not to accept that the present Prime Minister of India has the name Narendra Modi. And to deny that would be unusual, stupid. If I say, prove it to me, how are you going to prove it? If someone doesn't want to believe it. So in the same way, when Srila Prabhupada said, they haven't been to the moon, it seemed like that. I mean, everyone knows, it's in all the newspapers, and it's the greatest achievement of this of the century. It's the crowning exploit of man's conquering nature. Not only, I don't think they talk about this anymore, but in the 1960s, and when I was a kid, we always used to hear about how man is conquering nature by science. So it was the crowning feat of man's magnificent adventure in conquering nature. Now we have gone to the moon, and we, the Americans, did it. And you can see the flag fluttering, the American flag fluttering in the non-existent breeze on the moon. So that proves it, and we saw it on TV. So it sounded like crazy. It may have sounded like crazy. And even there was one newspaper, not newspaper, TV or something, journalist, who interviewed Prabhupada shortly before the moonshot, just maybe a few weeks before, and said, now we're going to the moon, and what do you think about that? And Prabhupada said, no, you're not going to the moon. He said, oh, Swamiji, we're going to the moon. He said, no, you can't go. And then the reporter in San Francisco asked him, well, what would happen to the faith of your disciples if they do go to the moon? And you're telling them that they can't. And Prabhupada said, well, they're not going to go to the moon. No, but they are going to go. What would happen if they go to the moon? And Prabhupada said, they're not going to go to the moon. And then a few years later, the same man interviewed Srila Prabhupada and said, well, remember I asked you a few years ago about what would happen to if they didn't go to the moon, and you refused to accept the possibility that they could even go to the moon. Now they've been to the moon. What do you think? Prabhupada said they didn't go to the moon. It was Swamiji, they've been. No, they haven't. Well, how can you say? Shastra. So this is the whole point. Stressing so much, we have to accept Shastra. So Srila Prabhupada had disciples who left him. Some of them became offensive to him. Some of them cheated him or attempted to cheat him. So some devotees are very eager to be gurus. Well, I can tell you it's not all about getting your feet washed. There's a lot more to it than that. I couldn't have imagined before I started all this what kind of headaches there can be from disciples who, maybe they like the way I smile at them. I have to be careful about smiling, because then someone might want to be my disciple because they like my smile. But that's not what it's all about. One has to hear and be prepared to follow. And even when it's difficult, and there will be some difficulties, definitely there will be difficulties. Practically guaranteed there will be difficulties in the guru-disciple relationship, because we're something like wild horses, right? The example of the senses are uncontrolled, like wild horses. So to tame the horses, It's not that you just capture a horse and then a wild horse and then you harness the horse and then the horse suddenly becomes a domesticated horse. It's not like that. A horse that's been wild, it may be very difficult at any point that they'll fully relinquish their sense of independence. So it is difficult. If we have to accept the discipline of a guru, it's going to be difficult for our mind. Usually the self-realization process goes on over many lifetimes, beginning with following Varnashram. It doesn't really even begin self-realization, but it's just a situation in which one is more likely to take to self-realization. And then after so many lifetimes of being a karmi, then one can become a jnani, and then bahunam janmanam ante jnanavan maam prapadyate vasudeva sarvamiti samahatma sudurlabha. After many, many births of trying for self-realization, one may come to the point of understanding Krishna and surrendering to Him. But this process that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given, it's meant for just yanking people out of complete maya and purifying. So it's a very quick purifying process if we take to it. But we may be reluctant to take to it fully. It's so fast. It's just like if we have so many impurities in our body and we just want to get them out quickly, then there's the vomiting and enemas and fasting and medicines. And you may think, what do I want to go through all that for? Maybe I better just be sick. You may feel like that. Better to be sick. It's just more convenient to be sick than to have all this treatment, which it's violent treatment. So we have our egos and our uncontrolled senses, and we're supposed to follow this discipline. And the guru is the one who's the laying down the line. So it may seem like too much, or I think the guru's wrong. Well, we heard about that yesterday, didn't we? That Jayadvaita Maharaj asked Prabhupada. It's a very daring question to ask. We see the guru makes mistakes. How do we relate to that? We say it doesn't make mistakes. It's just your wrong vision. And then Jayadvaita Maharaj said that, well, sometimes we see he forgets the verse, doesn't quote it properly. You have all heard, if you listen to Srila Prabhupada's talks, you'll hear Srila Prabhupada quoting Janma Karma Chame Divyam. What does Prabhupada say in the next line? What is the verse? Janma Karma Chame Divyam Evang Yo Veti Tatvata. How does Srila Prabhupada say the second line? Jo Janati Tatvata. That's the way Prabhupada says it. It's not what we'll find in any written edition of Bhagavad Gita. It's not a mistake, it means the same thing, but if you want to be fastidious, then you could say it's a mistake. But it's not a mistake to tell people that if we become Krishna conscious, we get Krishna's mercy and go back to Godhead. That's not a mistake, and that was Srila Prabhupada's reply. That one should see how the guru is preaching Krishna consciousness. That is his perfection. Not that he knows every shloka in the book, or may not even know, certainly Prabhupada knew, but for some reason, whatever reason, he would quote that verse like that. And many times he would appear to forget a verse or whatever. That's not the matter. Now there may be we may see more serious things. You may say, well, the guru's misunderstood me and this and that. We may think like that. That becomes very dangerous if the guru is properly situated. There is also the possibility of the guru making mistakes that are so serious that they disqualify him as a guru. Guru apya valiptasya karya karya majanataha utpanna pratipannasya parityago vidhiyate. There are certain mistakes if the guru makes that one should give him up as a guru, no longer accept him as a guru. If he himself is not situated in Krishna consciousness, or is not instructing properly, or becomes prone to sense gratification, and there are other things, given also becomes offensive to Vaishnavas. So someone may think, oh, he's not instructing me properly. Ah, very dangerous. The mind may think like that. Not instructing properly means not instructing according to Shastra, not instructing according to what I think he should instruct me. That's it. This is how this should be understood. So I've also had the experience of disciples acting in a duplicitous way with me, or not accepting my instruction, or turning against me. And before accepting disciples, I couldn't have imagined how unpleasant that is, how painful it is that we accepted someone and we thought that they were sincerely practicing, but then we find that we try to correct them, or they, instead of accepting the correction, they turn against you and literally act like an enemy. Definitely it's very painful. The pain is how they're causing harm to themselves, and how con man, confidence trickster. They pretended that they were so sincere, but actually later it's seen that they're not. On the other hand, it's very pleasing to have good disciples who can show me what it means to be a disciple in their dedication, in their faith, in their service. Then there are in-between types. Oh, I see some of my disciples, they're very particular to follow what I say. They're very faithful in that regard. Yesterday, the day before, in one of the offerings, one of the devotees commented how in one temple he'd seen that as long as the devotees there were following my guidance, it was flourishing. But when after they decided not to, it's going down. And I know what situation he's talking about. And I never thought of it like that before, actually. I thought because such and such a devotee left, and then a different kind of leadership came in, I never thought of it like that, exactly. But in one sense, you could say that also. And why was it flourishing when it was under my guidance and not so much now? Then we can say that, what is the reason for that? It's not some magic, it's not my smile, it's just the formula is there. Krishna consciousness is scientific. If we act like this, if we keep our attitude like this, then things will work. And if we don't, if we have ulterior motives, we may all have ulterior motives, but if we are not careful to curb our ulterior motives and really try to act as a surrendered servant of Krishna, then even if we may do basically the things that Srila Prabhupada gave us to do, then it won't work properly. Things won't work. So it's a great education for me. I'm supposed to be teaching you. But I'm also learning from all of you. And like I said, there are some who are very particular to follow, have faith in what I say, even though it may seem to be quite extreme. Yeah, it is extreme. It goes against everything. Just like the moon, it's extreme. It goes against everything in the world. Not going to the moon, but the whole thing, how we should not be materially ambitious. That goes against everything in modern India today. The whole atmosphere is one of being materially ambitious. We should not think that my benefit is in maintaining the body. My benefit is in performing activities that may be not very good for the body. Rising early in the morning in the winter, bathing, may not be very good for the body. So it may be difficult unless we're really very surrendered to follow all these things. And some may snap in the middle. And then there are those who are in the safe position, you could say. There's some disciples who don't follow me in very particularly, but they're devotees and they follow all the things, and they're not so serious to follow me in all respects. They can't accept everything, but anyway, the basic things, 4 regulated principles, 16 rounds. It is difficult to be a disciple, actually. To actually be a disciple of anyone is difficult, because we all have the Ishvaroham feeling that I should be in control. I should be the guru. Who can be a guru? Tai shikshatava takya sarvada naloibo puja ka. Who doesn't want to be a guru is good candidate for being guru. Who wants to be a guru? Be careful. If one wants to be a guru for the sake of serving his own guru, that is laudable. But if one thinks that I want to be a guru because, can't you see how great I am? That's going to be very troublesome for the disciples of such a guru. So it is difficult to be a disciple, an actual disciple of anyone. And it is difficult to be my disciple in some ways in ISKCON today compared to other gurus. I'm more demanding than most, if not all of the gurus in ISKCON, more demanding in terms of how disciples should surrender to Krishna. Some gurus are satisfied if their disciples bring them more disciples, so you can click up the numbers more and more and more. I'll bring them more money or build big buildings. I'm not against you bringing more disciples, because that's part of my service to Srila Prabhupada. I'm not against bringing money. Actually, I'm more interested in money than I've probably been at any time in my life, right now. So you can give money. I'm not going to keep it, but we have a lot of projects, especially these farm communities. I'm very interested to put money into them. They require a lot of money. I'm very interested in these farm communities, that at least some devotees can get relief from this hellish so-called civilization and live their life in such a way that they can actually be Krishna conscious. So I'm very interested in that. So, jodi take bahudan, Tobe how akinchan Vaishnava Kara Upaka is another instruction of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. If you happen to have a lot of money, most of my disciples don't have a lot of money. I don't know why, but somehow or other, I don't get all the big shots with lots of money. But if you're one of them, you can be akinchan. Don't be attached to it and use it for the service, for the benefit of the Vaishnavas. If anyone out there, I don't think so. Anyway, I would like to see you more than all these things. Bring money, disciples, this, that. If you're very serious to be a pure devotee of Krishna, that's the whole point of being guru, the whole point of being a disciple, is that we should be pure devotees. And then even if someone is very serious, still it's my duty to point out faults. Maybe that's another reason people want to be gurus. You can be justified in fault finding. Unfortunately, in some cases, if I try to point out some faults, then the disciples don't take it in the right spirit. They think that they know better, and I'm not able to be manipulated, as they're manipulating other people in the name of preaching Krishna consciousness, and because I won't be manipulated by them, so they go away and say that I'm wrong because I don't indulge their mixture of Krishna consciousness with their own plans for manipulating and exploiting others. See, I'm not unlimitedly merciful. I'll tell you that right now. I'm not unlimitedly merciful. One reason is that we're in ISKCON, it's a big society, so if you don't like me, you don't have to have me as a guru. There are so many gurus in ISKCON. Or if a few years down the line you find you don't like me, then there are so many gurus, you can go and join them. It's all right, I have no problem. It's great. Actually, it's much better than going on with some kind of farce. If you find it too difficult, you find me to be too unreasonable and too nasty and too unrealistic and whatever, there are so many gurus in ISKCON, you can go and attach yourself to them. So, I'm not in that sense unlimitedly merciful. Of course, we should consider what is the mercy of a guru. Here's a quote from one of Srila Prabhupada's purports, from that section, Brahmanda Brahmate Kono Bhagyavanji, from that section. Srila Prabhupada writes, "The spiritual master trains his disciples to render devotional service unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is called Guru Kripa." Okay, let's read that again. It's a definition of Guru Kripa. You want to know what it means, Guru being merciful? Let's hear this again. "The spiritual master trains his disciples to render devotional service unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is called Guru Kripa." So giving out initiation to people who are not serious to be trained, it's not actually Guru Kripa, it's not mercy. It may actually hinder their advancement because they don't understand what they're doing and they think, now I'm initiated, and they think that I just got the mercy, but they don't have any idea that they're supposed to be trained. So Srila Prabhupada continues, "The methods, rules, and regulations by which one is perfectly trained in devotional service constitute the Bhakti Lata Bij or seed of devotional service. So the seed of devotional service is the methods, rules and regulations by which one is perfectly trained in devotional service. So this is the meaning of being merciful. It doesn't, of course, it can mean also tolerating foibles, which means small mistakes. But the real mercy is to be trained. So in that way, I'm trying to be merciful. There's a phrase in English, tough love. That means just like a parent may be very strict with the child, it may seem that the parents are not very loving. There's some idea in society at the present time, it's probably promoted by Cadbury's or something like this, that the parents love the children, they give them chocolates. That's their love. But the real, maybe a better love is if they don't give them chocolates. Or tell them, you want chocolates? Okay, go and work. Earn some money. Get some chocolates. The tough love, to be disciplined. Discipline the children because you know there's a rough, hard world out there. So train you to operate in that with honor and morality and decency and not succumb to the degrading influences out there. So that's a tough love. That love may be better than the just indulging the children in letting them do whatever they like. Someone who wants the kind of love which is very shallow, which is just smiling at someone and saying, I love you. I accept you. I accept you for what you are. Whatever you are, I accept you. And then that's not the business of a guru. It is whatever you are, I don't accept you. You have to change. You have to take the training. Tough love. So, my request is that you stick to Krishna consciousness. So many. Oh. Hare Krishna. It's a caterpillar. Came on the flowers. And here's a bee looking for nectar in the flowers. You can't see. I can see. It's all right. It's all right. No harm. So I request all of you to hear me and try to preach Krishna consciousness in the way that I try to preach, especially not to adopt this entertainment style, very dangerous, watered down style. Here, Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada is often very humorous, but even in his humor was not for entertainment. And even in his humor, there's always a very grave message. Don't be enamored by this idea that we have to bring so many people. Yeah, we want to bring many people. But really, we are looking for the diamonds. One moon is more illuminating than many, many stars. So try to keep the standard high. It's difficult, but we can do it. We can all do it. We can all do it because by nature we are Krishna conscious. That is our inherent propensity to be Krishna conscious. So we can do it. We can all be Krishna conscious. But we require to act within some boundaries, maryada. As long as our tendency is there to indulge the mind and the senses, then we need to act according to some guidelines. So this way I'm trying to present Krishna consciousness, and many of you are assisting with that in various ways. I'm convinced it's an important message. It's not my message. Of course it's not. It's Krishna's message, which needs, the world very, very, very much needs the message of Gita and Bhagavata as Srila Prabhupada presented it. So I have a desire to communicate that in various ways, by writing, by speaking, by acting, and I need all of you to help with that, to give the message to the people of the world who are not only confused, but actually it's a very good time for preaching all over the world, because more and more people all over the world actually realize that they're confused. So that's good. If people realize that they're confused and everyone around them is cheating, and we can give the message of Krishna consciousness that here there's no cheating or exploitation, there's no boasting or showing off that I'm so great, we're so great. It's just the natural propensity of the soul. It's the normal thing to chant Hare Krishna, to dance and be happy. We're all meant for that, to live simply. Live simply means not only to live on the land, but our mind should be very simple also, not scheming. Just simply accept, I'm the servant of Krishna. That's all. So it's a message that requires to be shared. Tribhuvanath Prabhu, one of my better known god brothers, passed away. He often used to quote Srila Prabhupada as saying, there's no recording of Srila Prabhupada saying, but he used to quote Srila Prabhupada as saying, Krishna consciousness is so simple, you might just miss it. It's so straightforward and easy that what do? You chant Hare Krishna, you follow the four regular principles, you preach that we're not the body, we're eternal. It's too simple. We need to do something else. We need to stand on the tip of our left toe and turn our head round 360 degrees and balance spinning top on our nose. We need to do something different. Not only do we not need to do something different, we need not to do something different. Just simple, straightforward. Krishna is the Supreme. There is God. The universe is not going on by chance. There's a purpose, there's a controller. We are controlled. That controller is God. His name is Krishna. We have information about him from Shastra. So it's a very simple message. And the approach, the life is very simple. So keep it like that. It works. It actually works. if we follow the process of Krishna consciousness as given by Srila Prabhupada, as given by Rupa Goswami, as given by Vyasadeva, and my little self, I'm just saying the same thing, that's all. If we do, it works. Individually, collectively, and people become attracted to such an atmosphere. People who are looking for, they may not even know what they're looking for. They're looking for the real purpose of life, or they're just looking to be happy. When they see a group of devotees, then they become attracted. Manidha Prabhu, you may know, some of you, what? Friend, godbrother, at our festival in Lika in Croatia a few years ago, he told me that we have that festival in Lika, and it's at just on the roadside, the area where we have it is just on the roadside. And there's a sign outside saying Hare Krishna, and many tourists come in that area. So he told me that some German tourists stopped, and it was just lunchtime. So devotees were serving lunch, and they brought these German tourists in and gave them lunch, and they were husband and wife, or man and companion, or woman and companion, whatever. They were talking among themselves. Amanda Prabhu told me, because hardly anyone there knew German, but he knows German. So he said that they were saying among themselves, look at these people, how happy they are. They were surprised. And look how they're serving each other. They were surprised. They were very attracted to that. Simple thing. We don't think anything of it. Devotees, they had their whole morning program, and then they're serving prasada. And it's normal, but these people, it's surprising. And so many people, they want to go to Germany. They think, I'll go to Germany, I'll be happy. Germany is a mighty country, with wealthy country, civilized country, at least from 1946. Onwards, they started to be civilized. So that actual Krishna consciousness is very attractive. People are attracted to such an atmosphere. They want to be part of it. Whereas if we practice Krishna consciousness mixed up with material desires, then there's going to be nishedacha. If we're not very attentive to cut out the forbidden activities, cut out sense gratification. It's a hard message. Give up sense gratification. But if we don't, then we're in danger of falling into sinful activities, meat eating, gambling, intoxication, illicit sex. Don't think that it doesn't go on in ISKCON, within the institution called ISKCON. It's not allowed. It's not meant to be there, but definitely there's illicit sex in the holy dhams, intoxication, at least these two things. They're going on. Unless we preach very strong, not only preach against it, but if we see there's any case of it, then we don't extend the unlimited mercy that we keep someone who's indulging in these activities with no intention of, no seriousness to stop it, and then we just keep, we'll be merciful. We'll keep them in our community. We can't even keep a shadow of that. If someone's living in our community and they're not actually indulging directly in illicit sex, but they're not behaving properly in the way men and women should behave together, We can't allow that in our communities. It will spoil everything. So we have, for this reason, strictness is needed. It may be difficult to keep the balance. We say, well, we want to be merciful to everyone and give everyone a chance. But if someone is persistently behaving inappropriately with women, or making politics and unnecessarily turning the innocent devotees' minds and making them distrust the leaders who are working seriously and sincerely to help them, you can't tolerate that. That's why I say I'm not unlimitedly merciful. Some strictness is required. So I've heard through the grapevine, as they say, not that anyone came to me directly and told me, I've heard indirectly that some devotees within this movement consider myself and my disciples too idealistic, and that it won't last. Sure to fail. You can't go on like this. It may be that they're almost hoping for that. So like jackals and vultures, they can come and say, ah, see, I told you so. Ah, can't last. Someone may come to them and say, you know, it's really tough being a disciple of Bhakti Vikram. Yeah, I understand. Yeah. Okay, you come with us. And we're just going for a birthday party and we'll be having some Pepsi Cola. What's the harm? What's the harm? Not a big harm. But the harm is that it's for our sense gratification and not for Krishna's glorification, even if we say, Hare Krishna to you, and all this kind of thing. The aim is not how Krishna will be pleased. It's not according to the principle, Anukulyasya Sankalpa Pratikulyasya Varjanam. So we're on a tightrope. We have to keep, you know, this tightrope? They're on the circus, there's a taut wire and someone has to walk. And they have to, if they don't keep their balance perfectly, they're going to fall. And they have them high in there. So we're trying to walk on a high level, on a very narrow rope. It's dangerous. But unless we go up, then we stay down. So we have to try to go up. With faith that we have good helpers. I'm a product of Kali Yuga in many ways more than many of you. But I can tell you, we should do like this, do like this, do like this, follow Srila Prabhupada. We have good helpers. Sri Rupam, Sagrajatam, Sahagana, Raghunatha. If you're not so confident in Guru, then you can see who are our great acharyas, who we can connect with by following them. So I can simply request, now you're getting initiated, now you've come here, just stay. Stay on this path. Stay on the path and go up. Don't fade away. Many of Srila Prabhupada's disciples faded away after he left, even in his presence. Having come, let us stay on this path. Keep our faith, keep our determination. Throughout life, if necessary, life after life. And having come here, don't go away. Don't become a victim of the mind. Always chant Maha Mantra, required number of rounds every day. Follow the principles. Keep to the process. And Krishna will help us. Hare Krishna. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.